Honey, will you eat that snack cracker in your special outfit for me?
Howdy, Hillsboro. Welcome all y'all to this party right down here on 97.9 The Hill.
No point.
My name is Eric Pruitt. I'm a crime writer and bartender at Yonder in downtown Colonial AF Hillsboro, hanging out for the first time in weeks with my good buddy and partner, Alexis Bravos, massage therapist and co-bartender. What's up, Alexis?
What's up, Eric? I'm so happy to see you after so long, and you look great after your 3 weeks in county jail.
I have been a guest of the county for the last 3 weeks, and man, I have been doing some push-ups, and I am jacked.
I'm looking for somewhere to pay your bail, and we've broken into the old courthouse, but I don't see anyone. I do see... Do you know that person over
there? Ask one of these jerk-off lawyers.
I don't think we can
say
that. Oh,
hey, whoa, there's a good one right there. That's one of the good ones. It's Russell Johnson, lawyer, attorney at law and author. Russell, what is up? What brings you out to the courthouse on a Sunday afternoon?
You know, I heard that you might be in the need of legal services, and I bill double on Sundays, so I thought I'd come check it out.
You are worth every penny. It is so good to see you, Russell. I have just recently grabbed your debut novel, The Moonshine Messiah. How's that going for you?
It's off to a good start. Debuted last Friday. I've been told I've already set the record for the most pre-sales the publisher's had, and we're rocking and rolling. So we got a big event coming up at Yonder.
I really appreciated it. I loved reading the book. You're a new character. What's her name?
Mary Beth King.
Mary Beth King is great. I enjoyed reading the book. Somebody actually smuggled it in for me, so that was great. Don't smell it.
Yeah, you might find a reference to Doc Pruitt in there too somewhere.
Hell yes. Hell, you know, just a little aside, Sean Cosby has made two references to me in two of his different books, and they're both in relation to old folks' homes. Pruitt Convalescent Care.
Well, that's good company to be in.
Russell, where can we find your book if we want to buy it?
So, you know, the biggest bookstore in the world, Amazon, has got it. You can get it from the publisher, shotgunhoney.com. I think Flyleaf has it. Letters Book in Durham is going to have it, and a bunch of bookstores in West Virginia.
We like to buy local when we can.
Yep, same here. So maybe Purple Crow will carry it.
You say West Virginia. What's your ties with West Virginia?
So I'm originally from Cross Lanes, which is a suburb of Charleston, famous now for the casino that they have there, and went to West Virginia University. But my parents are from Coal Country, and so this story is kind of based on a highly fictionalized version of the Coal Country in southern West Virginia.
Tell folks that haven't had a copy smuggled into them to the county hotel, tell them what this book is about.
So the book is about Sheriff Mary Beth Kane, who is a female sheriff in southern West Virginia, where her family kind of runs the local hillbilly crime syndicate, which has caused her a lot of problems and has her facing a corruption investigation by the feds. When her old high school boyfriend, who she's been estranged from for 20 years, who has become an assistant U.S. attorney, pays her a visit and says that he has worked out a deal that will make this investigation go away, solve all her problems, if she'll just do one little thing, which is to go and arrest her brother, Sawyer, who has become like the guru leader of this booming anti-government militia movement. And it's something she doesn't want to do until Sawyer and his friends go and blow up a federal courthouse, and it seems that a bloody standoff is inevitable unless you can find a way to intercede and stop it.
I read this thing a long time ago, and it ripped. We really dug it. I would tell people, if you are into Elmore Leonard with a little Carl Hiaasen in an Appalachian setting, this is freaking perfect for you.
Yeah, Elmore Leonard is definitely one of my big influences, and I think if you like the Raylan Givens character, this might appeal to you.
Yeah, this one's great.
I do like Raylan Givens.
She says that in her horny voice.
Yeah, that's if you didn't know, that's what that voice means. So you're an author of a debut novel, but you're also a lawyer. When did you start writing stories?
So, you know, in college, I was an English major and I minored in creative writing. And so I knew back then that I wanted to be a writer. But also knew that I didn't want to be a starving writer. So I went to law school and did the lawyer thing for a while and kind of, you know, put writing on the back burner for a good long time until I think the stress of being a lawyer just kind of got so great that I needed that sort of escapism of writing. So I've been kind of pursuing it in earnest for about 13 years now.
Mm-hmm. But are you still practicing the law?
Yeah. Still got to pay the bills. So, you know.
What kind of law you do?
So for a long time, I was sort of a corporate litigator, you know, bill by the hour, show up at the courthouse on Sunday kind of guy. But now I got real burned out with that. And I left a few years ago and joined my best friend from law school who has a firm called Diener Law, where we almost exclusively represent Latino immigrants. And so immigration is a big practice area, but I do mostly workers' comp. And so I represent a lot of construction workers who've had bad injuries and haven't been treated very well often by their employers.
Well, we're really excited to have you on here, but we're really, really excited about an event that's coming up next in 3 days. In 3 days, it's going to be hosted at Yonder, which is your book release party. What do you got planned for that book release party here?
So, I'm doing it with a couple of really good writers, you know, who have fans that can pack the house if I don't have enough people coming. So Lynn Hawks, who is a Hillsborough resident, will be there, as along with Eric Pruitt, who's written a book that you all may have heard of.
That's you.
That's me.
Yeah, called Something Bad Wrong. And Lynn Hawks' husband, Greg Hawks, is a professional musician. He does a lot of great like roots music, bluegrass, rockabilly, all that kind of stuff. He's going to come and play a few songs for us as well.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk more about that here in just a second. We're going to go hear from our last remaining sponsor, and then we're going to hear a little bit more about that and then come back and ask Alexis some questions. Y'all ready to do that?
Yep.
All right, you guys stick around. We'll be right back.
Tell me what I've done for you treating me this way. You act like I'm the devil himself. What are you afraid to say? What are you afraid to say?
The Chapel Hill Media Group is 97.9 The Hill WCHL, your hometown radio station, and chapelboro.com, your hometown online newspaper with local news.
Welcome back to News on the Hill.
Local events.
The Carrboro Music Festival is back.
Music for folks who love music. And Tar Heel Sports.
Carolina is going to go to the national championship.
Get informed and connected with your community through the Chapel Hill Media Group.
I was practicing while you were in jail.
Hell yeah. You'd be the second most popular person on my cell block after me, who they call Big Lips Pruitt.
I can open wide. Welcome back to Howdy Hillsborough.
That's how the frog got in there.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. My name is Alexis Bravos. I am your co-host along with Eric Pruitt. And we are here with our guest, Russell Johnson, this week. Are you ready to answer some advice questions?
Probably not. So let's go ahead and do it anyway.
Okay. I'd like a little more confidence, Russell. Thanks. If y'all have your own questions, you can come to Yonder Bar and stick them in the jar on the bar.
Stick it in there.
Shove them right in.
Jam it in.
They'll fit.
It'll fit.
Or you can submit them through our portal, our online portal at chapelboro.com/howdyhillsborough. Let's get to some advice. Dear Alexis, how do I be a better man? ! Well, I think just by the virtue of asking this question, I appreciate someone having that desire. I think, you know, there's a lot of ways that this could be answered, but I would say just become a better listener. Become a better listener. What would you say, Russell?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
You're better at this than you thought.
I hear a lot about this mindfulness meditation movement. Maybe if you just, you know, sit there listening to whatever it is you're thinking about and trying not to think, that's supposed to do something for you.
That didn't make any sense at all.
No, but that's why it's so popular.
Have you ever meditated?
I've tried, you know, but it's getting my mind to stop racing is not an easy thing for me to do. Yeah. So I'm not very good at.
Well, you should try harder to be a better man, Eric.
I think instead of trying to be a better man, you should try to be a better person.
There we go. If only you could drop that microphone.
All right, I'm not going to get any good answers out of these men. Let's move on. Dear Alexis, a strange man recently asked if I'm expecting. I am expecting a lot, but a child is not one of those things. WTF would you say to this loser? How can I salvage my self-esteem? Love, not with child. That's just one of those things that, you know, a clueless person sometimes does. And I don't know, maybe you were wearing an extra bunchy sweater or, you know, whatever. But I think that's one of those things that you just kind of have to ignore. But at the time of that question, you can, you know, give a sarcastic reply. What would you say?
You know, I think maybe you've got to go one of two ways. Either you just call the person out and like really shame them for what they've done. That probably would be the best route, because the other alternative I can think of is just, you just got to fake it. I mean, you just got to have to pretend
that you are pregnant,
to be pregnant all the way through delivery. And then, you know, the
like
more
keep adding more layers.
Right. And then, you know, it's kind of those things like the more you double down, I mean, just the more complicated it gets. Like, you know, you got to fake pictures and, you know, birth,
sonogram.
First birthday. Yeah. So I mean, it could really get in
just
depth.
Really.
Yeah, so probably the first route would be the
I mean, I do
one.
Think that the person has to learn to not do that again.
That's
so
true. Throw your drink in their face and be like, yeah, my water just broke.
But it's kind of like, you know, when someone calls you the wrong name, if you don't point out right away, you just have to become that name eventually.
So. Yeah, I've had to become Alexa because I would say 9 out of 10 boomers do not believe that my name is Alexis.
To be clear, we love boomers.
We do.
Yes.
They're our bread and butter.
Yeah. It's a Chapel Hill radio station, Alexis.
And that's why my name is Alexa from now until eternity.
Actually.
Do we have time for one more? Okay. Let's move on. Dear Alexis, I have a friend who loves to gossip. I have learned the hard way not to tell her everything I don't want the whole town to know. I'd rather talk about anything, the weather, the meaning of life, but it is very hard to change the channel. What advice do you have? Appreciate any tips. Well, I think at this point, if you've tried to change the subject and it doesn't work, I would just flood this person with disinformation.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Just, you know, just make stuff up. You know, I mean, I heard that Eric's been in jail for the last 3 weeks. That's true.
Or pretend to be pregnant. And just come up with a whole fake child.
I'm expecting.
Yeah, just say something crazy and then see if it makes its way back to you. And then confront the person and really shame them.
It's like a game of fake news telephone. I like this.
Pretty much all our advice has been to shame people so far.
Yeah, I mean, shame them anyway. You know, shaming people and ghosting people are like my two favorite things now.
It's how they learn.
Yeah, it's exactly.
All right. Do we have time for another one? One more. Okay. Let's do this. Dear Alexis, what if my partner hates the flatware he picked out for Father's Day? I'm confused by this. He picked out the flatware, but you're concerned that he's going to hate it? Or did you mean hates the flatware we picked out for Father's Day? Why would you get someone flatware for Father's Day? That's my question to you. That's knives and forks, right?
Right. And to be, you know, stereotypical, speaking as a man, you know, flatware is like something like you're like required to like register for, like when you get married, and you do not care at all what that flatware looks like. So the fact that this person's getting that for Father's Day, I think that was the misfire right there.
Yeah. What, you don't care at all?
Not really. I mean, it's a fork, you know, like, I mean, if it functions, I mean, it could be yellow with, you know, polka dots. I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah. Eric, do you care about flatware?
Not really. But if she's getting you flatware for Father's Day, then you get her a vacuum cleaner for Mother's Day. Too bad the one's in front
of you. I would love a vacuum cleaner.
There you go. All right. You heard it here, folks.
All right, y'all. I think we need to go to our only remaining sponsor. And when we come back, we'll tell you all about what's happening at Yonder Bar this week.
Y'all. Some blues are just blues. Mine are the miner's blues. Some blues are just blues. Mine are the miner's blues. My troubles are coming by threes and by twos.
My name is Hubert Davis, and 97.9 The Hill is my hometown radio station.
Howdy, Hillsboro.
Nice.
Y'all hear that? That's Appalachian mastermind there, lawyer and author Russell Johnson, whose new book, The Moonshine Messiah, is tearing it up. Right here on 97.9 The Hill, No Point. Thank you for joining us once again for Howdy Hillsboro. My name's Eric Pruitt. I'm joined with Alexis Bravos and our guest, Russell Johnson. Russell Johnson will be joining us next week, this week at Yonder, and so should you. Which night sounds the best to you? Would it be Tuesday with our Hillsboro open mic, rated the number one open mic in North Carolina?
In the world.
2 years in a row. Or will you come Wednesday, where Russell will be there with Lynn Fairchild Hawks and myself for the celebration of the Moonshine Messiah book release? That's going to be hot. That's going to be super hot. Or you could come Thursday for our live jazz series featuring the Catherine Whalen's Jazz Squad. Or maybe you want to rock it a little bit, so you come on Friday to listen to the soothing, rocking sounds of Brother Kent. Or you want to go and fix that hole in your heart that was left during your first prom by joining us for our second chance prom, our prom on Saturday night, which happens to also be our 4-year anniversary here at Yonder.
Yahoo.
Featuring DJ Oliver. Which night are you going to come? By the way, anyone that comes all 5 nights gets a free smoothie from me. Which night are you going to come, Alexis?
I think I'll be there for most of those. And especially prom, but we haven't figured out our outfits quite yet.
We'll work on that.
Okay. Are you going to come to prom, Russell?
You know, I probably should. I never did have a good prom, so second chance prom sounds pretty good.
Did you go to your senior prom?
I did. You know, I made, for some reason, like 3 years in a row, I made plans to go with the girl who was my girlfriend at the time, and we broke up before the actual event, and so it was like, you know, just awkward and tense. And it was the same girl. Like, we just kept going out and breaking up, but... Prom was bad.
But you ended up going together anyway, even though you're broken up.
Yeah, you know, we'd already, like, you know, rented the clothes or the tux or whatever. So yeah,
I didn't go because my girlfriend at the time was 30 years old and she was afraid she would go to jail.
I didn't go because I was too cool. All right, but not anymore. Pretty excited about this Yonder prom. Let's answer some more advice questions.
Say the guy
y'all.
Dating a 30-year-old is cooler than you, but whatever.
You don't know what I was doing or who I was dating. Okay, dear Alexis, I'm about to go on a trip and I'm looking for places to stay. I've never done Airbnb because I'm always scared of the unknown. I prefer hotels because with a Hampton Inn or Hilton, I know what to expect. Should I try an Airbnb? And if I do, are there any red flags I should be looking out for in the listing? There's a lot of questions I have about this question. Yes, there are red flags. I recently rented an Airbnb for an upcoming trip, and I think, I mean, in all honesty, like, you want to look at the reviews and make sure, like, people aren't like, this place is terrible and it's full of, like, rats and, you know, whatever, cockroaches. And you also want to make sure that what they're claiming they have is actually there. Like, it sometimes will say, like, 2 bedrooms, but then one of the bedrooms will just have a curtain in front of it or something. So you definitely want to read carefully. But I want to know why you think you can expect the same thing at a Hilton or a Hampton Inn. You might walk in and there could be, like, a...
cockroaches and semen stains.
I mean, do not get out the black light. I'll just say that. Especially if you're coming to my house.
Coming.
Russell, have you ever done an Airbnb?
I have. I've had good luck with Airbnb so far. I've heard that the people who are the hosts of the Airbnbs are, like, really militant about getting good reviews. Like if you don't get 5 stars, you're just shunned from the Airbnb world.
Well, I've also review you.
Right, right. Yeah. I've heard heard stories about the host becoming kind of stalkerish, you know, like if they didn't get the good review, chasing people down, trying to get them to change it.
Creepy. Eric, you've done Airbnbs recently.
Dude, I dig Airbnbs. Yeah, I like them. I'm not a person that really likes to have neighbors, so I can carry on how I want, especially when I'm on vacation. So not having somebody share a wall with you is always a plus. So I like the Airbnbs. Watch those cleaning fees, though.
Yeah.
They tell you the price, but then when you look at the final thing, that some people will jack up the cleaning and service fees. I've seen them get pretty high, so watch those.
Here's the thing, though, about hotels or Airbnbs. First of all, don't get out the blacklight. Second of all, I feel very skeeved out about sleeping on a pillow that hundreds of other people have slept on. Do you guys ever think about that when you're staying in a hotel or an Airbnb?
Well, now I do.
Bring your own pillow.
You can't bring your own pillow on an airplane. I mean, I guess you could, but all right.
You can bring anything on an airplane except a big bottle of shampoo.
Especially if you have a gun inside the bottle of shampoo. All right, let's move on. Let's see. Dear Alexis, how do you decide if something is worth spending money on? Well, do you need the thing or do you just want the thing? And how much money do you have versus how much money does the thing cost, I guess?
Can I just interject here? That's a stupid question.
I mean,
that's a stupid question. I apologize if the person that wrote it is listening. Chances are they're not, but that was a stupid question.
How do you decide if you can spend money on something, Eric?
I try to see if I have the money.
What about you, Russell?
Are you
a real shopper?
Not at all. And so my wife kind of takes care of the spending. Part.
Well, I think you need to be a better man by offering to do the shopping every once in a while.
I thought it was by listening.
That's right.
Whatever, dude. It's whatever I say it is. All right. Let's move on. Dear Alexis, what is your favorite life hack? Now, the last question was stupid. This is even stupider. I really, really, really cannot stand the term hack in any scenario unless I'm hacking up into little pieces.
Yeah. I'll throw one out. Life hack, keeping on our Airbnb hotel experience for people who are really worried about germs. If you don't want to touch the remote control, you don't know where that's been before, people will take out the...
In a body cavity, by
the way. People will take out the shower cap and wrap that around the remote control and then push through the clear plastic of the shower cap.
That's some MacGyver stuff.
Yeah. That's I've seen that on Facebook. So it's got to be true.
Eric, what's your favorite life hack?
Knowing the difference between lime and lime. You know, sometimes when you're burying a body and you want it to decompose quick, there's one kind of lime that will cause the body to decompose quickly, but the other kind of lime will actually preserve the body. So you got to make sure you're getting the right lime when you're trying to quickly decompose a body.
And it's also not very fast if you're using one of those hand juicers. Different, over the body.
So there's three kinds of lime.
It's more of an afterlife hack.
All right. I think we may have ended our time for today.
Yeah, we really want to thank Russell Johnson for coming out to the show. His new book, Moonshine Messiah, is one you got to get. If you're a fan of Elmore Leonard, if you're a fan of Carl Hiaasen, man, if you're just a fan of words, strung together in sentences that make paragraphs.
I love those.
These are words that are wonderful. You want to go out and get Moonshine Messiah by Russell Johnson. If you are in need of a lawyer, get him to. And if you're on the fence, come out and join us this Wednesday for the Moonshine Messiah release party with Lynn Fairchild Hawks and myself. And we'll be here to take your money for drinks and books. Thank y'all very much for coming out. It's been wonderful talking to y'all. And until next week, you're all set.
Won't you lend your lungs to me? Mine are collapsing. Plant my feet and bitterly breathe up the time that's past. Breath I'll take and breath I'll give. Pray the day's not poised.
stand among the ones that live in lonely indecision.